Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Good evening and welcome this evening to our Sunday evening worship services. We do, if you are visiting with us, we do count you as an honored guest, and we would love to meet you if you are visiting with us after the service. And we are... I'm honored to be here speaking in front of you once again this evening. JD is actually out with the kids tonight. They are at an area-wide devotional. And so I took the duties tonight as well. He will be preaching next Sunday morning. And Mark Aaron Hilliard will actually be preaching next Sunday evening. So you're in for a treat the next week or two to be able to hear some guys that maybe we don't hear too often. And so I'm looking forward to it, and I know that you will get a lot from it as well. Again, appreciate the opportunity. We have been talking about the topics week by week from our one-word devotional book. And our one-word devotional book, if you don't already have one, we still have a few stacks of those left. And Andrew can get one. You can get those for $3.50. And when we looked through the, I was part of the planning team for that, and we've sold a bunch of those to a lot of different churches, and a lot of different churches are doing the same thing that we are doing tonight, going through each one of those words week by week. And tonight's word is appropriately love. And when we sat down and planned the year, we looked at the dates and we looked at the calendar and we said, you know what, that's going to be a great, February 12th, 2017, is going to be a great Sunday evening to talk about love, because Valentine's Day is going to be that Tuesday. And it will be on everybody's mind. That is a good question, is it not? What is love? I can't help but think of the terrible 90s song that just pops in my head. What is love? And that terrible Saturday Night Live skit that they did with it. It just, I cannot not see that when I say that word. What is love? But there's so much confusion in the world today about what love actually means. Love and lust are easily misidentified. Clearly, Paul defines love in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if we don't have love, then we don't have anything. And if you wanted a picture of love and what it looks like, the perfect place to start is 1 Corinthians 13. Let's turn there. We're going to be turning to several New Testament passages this morning, or this evening, and I want you to open your Bibles and look at those with me. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4. We've heard this, we've sung this, we have seen this on emblazoned on walls in our homes and paintings and different things like that. But I want you to think about these words and what these individual terms mean tonight. Starting in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable nor resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Some versions say love never fails. If you look at these words, I think that you can make the inference that love is not necessarily a feeling. It's not necessarily boiled down to just an emotion. It's an action. We need to ask ourselves this question that's on the screen tonight. Am I a person of love? As Christians, to get an answer to that question, we should always look to the Bible. We should always look to Scripture as our guidepost, our lighthouse for everything that we should be looking at. And 1 John is the place that we need to go. If 1 Corinthians 13 is the great chapter of love, the book of 1 John is the book of love. Love is mentioned 46 times in 135 verses in the book of 1 John. It was written to combat heresy, known as Gnosticism. The Gnostic believed that knowledge was power above all else. They felt that they had a special knowledge of God and His ways. And John is writing to basically put these people in their place. And as he does, along the way, he's going to tell us about how great a God we serve with a great love for great sinners. And it's that great love of that great God that I want to talk to and address for a few minutes. Let's go to that verse on the screen there, 1 John chapter 3. And I want to read just a few verses there, verses 16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Verse 17, right there in the middle of those verses, is a practical example for us today. He tells us, John tells us exactly what we should be doing today. We do not simply talk about love. We are demonstrators of it. We must be demonstrators of it. One of the first things I remember about coming here to Graymere, going on almost 2 years now, was that you are a congregation of love. We have people in this building every single day that are doing things as labors of love for those in need, for those who are other members, for those who are just simply here in the office and working. We have people in the food pantry that are manning that. They give away thousands of pounds of food every day. This Sack the Pulpit, I actually came here many years ago. It's probably about 5 years ago, and I don't remember what I was here for. But I think I was on a staycation in Lewisburg when I was in Church Street, and we came for Sack the Pulpit. And I came, and there was tons of grocery bags right here on the pulpit. And that was my first look at what Graymere does, just a hint of what Graymere does. We have so many other people that are doing in all sorts of different other kinds of acts of love for one another here as members, for one another here in the church, going to do visits and making food and doing all sorts of different things. Those things will never be published in the bulletin. They're never going to go viral on Facebook. But nevertheless, they will be noticed by God. Every time you show love, you are showing Jesus. This evening I want to go over and do an old-fashioned breakdown, an old-fashioned acrostic. I want to take L-O-V-E and I want to name four different things that we can use and break down what love is. So first of all, L stands for listening. Listening. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." In other words, if you've got ears, you need to use them. There is a vast difference between hearing and between listening. Right now, my little David is in the mode of look daddy and look mommy. Look daddy, look daddy, look daddy, look daddy, this Thomas, look daddy, this, look mama, look mama, look God. And he is constant. He wants us to see everything that he is doing. I heard a preacher one time say that the greatest gift a parent can give a child is to simply listen. Most of us are really bad listeners. I know I am. We're always thinking about what we want to say rather than truly listening to what the other person is saying to us. I heard a story about an old man who was casually walking down a country lane one day with his dog and his mule. And suddenly a speeding truck came careening around the corner, knocking the man, his mule, and the dog all in the ditch. And the old man decided to sue the driver of the truck. He was seeking to recoup some of the cost of the damages. While the old man was on the stand there, the counsel for the defense cross-examined him. And the man was asking a simple question. The cross-examiner said a simple question. He said, "I want you to answer this question yes or no to the following question. Did you or did you not say at the time of the accident that you were perfectly fine?" Just like a lawyer would, right? And the man said, "Well, me and my dog and my mule were walking down the road," and the counsel of defense said, No, stop, stop, stop. "I asked you to tell me yes or no. Did you say that you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident?" The man started again, "Well, you know, me and my dog and my mule were walking down the road," and the defense attorney appealed to the judge this time. He said, "Your Honor, the man is not answering the question. Would you please insist that he answer the question?" The judge said, "Well, hold on a minute. Let's just hear him out. He obviously wants to tell us something, so just let him speak." So the man took a deep breath and he said, "Well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, And this truck came around the corner far too fast and knocked us into the ditch. And the driver stopped. He got out of his truck, saw my dog was badly injured, went back to his truck, got his rifle, and shot it. Then he saw my mule had broken his leg, so he shot it too. And then he looked at me and he said, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm perfectly fine." In order to understand someone, a friend, a spouse, a fellow Christian, we need to listen carefully. We need not to just wait on our turn to speak. We need to listen carefully to what they have to say. Part of loving is listening. And I've often heard the joke that God gave us two ears and one mouth because he wanted us to hear at least twice as much as we speak. I don't think that's too far off. Learning to listen is an art. It's one that I'm still very much learning myself. But the first step in the process of love, listening first, is important and shows a prioritization of others' needs over your own. Number two this evening is observe. We got listen, we have observe. Back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, I want to read verse 17 once again. Verse 17 simply says this, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" Just like there's a vast difference between hearing and listening, there's a vast difference between looking and observing. We must learn to see with our hearts. No amount of technology is going to take the place of that. In July of 2015, it was with great anticipation that I followed the news and of the New Horizons spacecraft that was launched by NASA all the way back in 2006. This was a satellite that had one mission. It was to go out and venture out into space and take pictures of our outermost planet at the time, Pluto. So up until 2015, we really didn't have any idea what Pluto looked like. This was actually the best image that we had as of 2003 that was taken by the Hubble Space Telescope. This is one of the more famous images. This next one was caught back in 2015 as the craft approached the planet. I think it's kind of ironic when you look at this. You can see plainly the heart shape. And we're talking about love tonight, and I thought that was kind of ironic. But that heart shape, it was Pluto sending us a love letter saying, "This is the first look that you have at what I look like." It's absolutely striking. But the next image is probably the coolest one that I've seen. It's that of a Pluto sunrise. The spacecraft got 400 kilometers away from this to get this shot. And it's just amazing what it looks like. This is nearly all frozen, Pluto is. Temperatures that even in the sunlight are below negative 150 degrees. Seeing this image of a planet that's so many millions of miles away that we couldn't see before, that just a decade or two before, we had no idea what it looked like. We can't even comprehend the distance between here and there. It's simply amazing. As good as our technology is to send a probe hundreds of millions of miles away to take pictures of a planet for us, no amount of technology can make us see with our hearts. As good as our technology is to simply look in our smartphones and talk to someone across the globe on that screen, no amount of technology can substitute for seeing someone with our hearts. I talked in Bible class to our auditorium class this morning about our need to put on God glasses sometimes. We need to put on our God glasses and we need to see people how God sees them. God does not see color. God does not see nationality. He does not see any kind of dividing lines. What he sees is one thing, and that is a soul that needs to be saved. A soul that he loves. And sometimes, just like that technology that can take us to faraway planets and can make it clear to us to see something that we've never seen before in the history of mankind, we can put on those God glasses and see things clearly that we may have never seen before. We can see souls that need to be saved. If we truly love, we will observe the needs of people around us, and we will respond in a loving and kind way. Number three this evening is validating. Validating is showing a person their worth. It's showing others that they are important. I'm going to let the Scriptures speak for us this evening, and we're going to read from two Scriptures. One is Philippians chapter 2, and the other one, 2 Thessalonians 3. If you want to go ahead and start turning there, we're going to read both of those Scriptures, the 2 Thessalonians Scripture being a little bit longer there. But the Philippians Scripture is pretty common, and we know it. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." To me, that is saying that other people's interests, other people's needs are more significant than mine. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to read that entire portion of Scripture because I think it gives us a good picture of what Paul is doing here, and we'll talk about it in just a second. Beginning in verse 3, he says, "We ought to always give thanks to God for you." He's talking to the Thessalonian church there. "For you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. And the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God and for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay affliction with those who afflict you, to grant relief to those who afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." Verse 9. "They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. And when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, because of our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for every good work of faith by his power, so the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is preaching a difficult and hard message here. But while he is preaching that difficult and hard message, he is able to show love here by validating the faith of those who he is talking to. Listening and observing, part of love, build up to this step. And Paul heard what the Thessalonians were going through, and he observed what they had happened to them in the midst of all this trouble. You see, the church in Thessalonica was under attack. The members were under attack. They were having to deal with a lot of abuse, and it's not clear from the Scripture what kind of abuse that was. If it was political pressure, if it was verbal abuse, if it was actual physical abuse, we're not sure. But they never, no matter what kind of abuse and what kind of persecutions they were dealing with, they never relented on their beliefs in Jesus. They never renounced Jesus. Paul was so proud of that, and he was so proud of them. And he connects these two by validating their worth to him, him personally and to the church. And in verse 3, before he begins to talk about all these different things, he directly connects the growth of our faith with the love we have for one another. He essentially makes those two terms synonymous. If we grow in faith, we should also grow in our love for one another. If we're to be loving individuals in the church here at Graymere in 2017, we have to love one another. And showing a person that they are worth something goes a long way in this concept of love. Last but not least is E, for encourage or encouraging. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is a very, very familiar passage to us, but I want to go ahead and read it as well. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, as all the more you see the day drawing near." Something is missed when we don't assemble with other Christians. Something is missing. Think about who is missing tonight. Think about a regular person who does not come on Sunday evenings. We live in an extremely negative world. We turn on the news and we hear negativity. We open our iPhones up, we look on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and we see and hear negativity. We turn on our radios and we hear negativity. And in this extremely negative climate, Christians can set themselves apart. They can distinguish themselves through the encouragement of others. We can be positive in our thinking and place others' needs above our own. William Arthur Ward said this. He said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you." The final part of being a true, loving Christian is tied together, all together. It all comes tied together with encouragement. Think about the people that made a genuine difference in your life. And I think that most of them, in your mind, would be encouragers. So, the last question I have for you this evening is, what about us? What about us? How is this going to affect us as being a loving Christian? Are we willing to show and give genuine love to others? Are we willing to place others' needs above our own? Are we willing to listen to what people have to say? Are we able to observe what they need and not necessarily what we need first? Are we able to validate people's faith by being an encourager? Christ exemplified all of these things that we spoke about tonight. Christ is love. And He wants a relationship with you tonight. Tonight, if you need prayers, if you need any kind of restoration, if you want to come forward, we can pray for you tonight. If you want to talk to one of our elders, if you want to talk to one of our ministers, we can pray with you publicly or privately. If you want to put on Jesus in baptism tonight and you want to say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for my sins, you can do that this evening. We need to be loving Christians. We need to do what Christ would have us do, and that is to love all people, not just those who are in the house of faith. If you have any needs, any spiritual needs this evening, why don't you come right now while we stand and while we sing.